Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, your gateway to the trends and tropes of the horror genre. This is Spooky Time, episode number 3.
Spooky Time.
Where the Scariest Things crew gets together and shares a week's worth of tidbits to get you updated on the latest and greatest in horror as we see it this week. And I'm your host, Eric Lee. And with me from DC is
Robert Zillbauer.
Also from Portland,
Mike Campbell.
And from New Orleans, as always,
I'm my king cake baby.
Liz Williams. Yay.
Manny Rondazzo.
So Liz, the mania that is.
It is carnival time here in New Orleans. This weekend really kicks off the big time parades. And this time next week, Mardi Gras will be in full swing. It is February 21st is Mardi Gras Day. So yeah. King cake baby. I've eaten now 4 king cakes at our house.
Shit.
Our house.
How many babies did you eat?
What?
Only the one I couldn't find in the cake. The rest.
Liz, tell us how much a king cake now runs you.
Well, if you want to send it to someone, you're going to be paying a pretty penny.
Okay.
However, if you want to buy one here, you're okay.
Okay. So, or you could
all
just.
All my deserving friends get king cakes.
So you could.
We
just
made
get
it through like 90% of a king cake.
Yeah.
90%. And I felt like we were doing good.
Yeah.
We didn't do 4.
We wiped those out.
Liz has been generous enough to send me a king cake for the past couple of years, but being diabetic, it's usually not a good idea.
It's kind of hard to send a giant cinnamon roll covered
cake.
In sugar with sugar
so
inside
good.
Of it. Yeah, it's a little hard.
But that's
yeah,
the premise to a horror movie. I think that's the premise to a horror movie.
Yeah.
King Cake Baby could
sugar
be
madness.
Its own horror movie. We have the King Cake Baby is the Pelican mascot during the carnival season basketball games, and I will post it on our Instagram feed so you can experience the King Cake Baby for yourself. He is horrific, yet amazing at the same time.
That sounds
follow
terrifying.
Us on Instagram.
That's Jesus for you.
Serious Things with a Z, and you'll see the King Cake Baby. I will send that over.
So yeah, I don't know if we say Jesus on a YouTube video, do we get demonetized? And actually, I think we have to get monetized first.
Where's our monetized?
Like, we are unmonetized. We are.
Where's my clothing budget?
We're doing it for the love of horror.
I can't afford these Lost Boys T-shirts all on my own.
Nice. Came.
As long as you say it, as long as you say baby Jesus, you're fine.
Yes.
Baby Jesus.
Yeah.
It is the baby Jesus.
All right. So,
Eric, what do we have first tonight?
So, Robert and I. Are in the habit of playing computer games on Wednesday nights. And we found actually a horror adjacent game that we used to play was Back 4 Blood, which is shooting zombies. Pretty straightforward. Nothing, sure. You know, it's not scary in the slightest. You're just shooting up zombies and it's a lot of fun. But they stopped supporting it on stream. And so it was suggested that we picked up a game called Phasmophobia. And it your ghost hunters.
That?
P-H-A-S-Z-A-S. That's as is not a word.
Phasmagoria.
Phasmagoria.
Phasmagoria. Phasmophobia. Phasmophobia, right?
Phasmophobia.
Thank you, Rob.
Correct.
Can you spell that?
No, stop it.
No
stop
knows.
It. Bad. So this is a ghost hunting game. And quite legitimately had me going, oh fuck, oh shit, oh no, oh god. and because when you wear your headsets on and you're going around with an EKG monitor, or not EKG, what is it, the EMP?
Ghost finder hunter.
And it lights up when a ghost is near, and then you have a tools, like you got your camera and you got your salt shaker and you got all these things that your ghost hunters need. But the ghost is really aggressive, and we suck, right? We just started playing this game.
We died a lot. There was a lot of dying.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, Robert, where'd Robert go? Oh, God, Robert's dead.
There's his corpse in the hallway.
It's like, oh, my God, oh, he's twisting. And then your flashlight goes out, and you start screaming and start, I can't find the exit. And then you hear So there's four of us who play this, right? And we're all wandering around. We're stumbling into these, into each other in the dark, in this house that's haunted by some sort of, we're trying to identify what the ghost is, whether it's a specter.
Is this a newer game?
It's newish.
Newish. Yeah.
The graphics,
year or so.
The graphics are pretty good, with the exception of it, you can turn into a pretzel like the Exorcist or like Reagan, where you end up bending backwards. It's ridiculous looking. But if you get past that, it has genuinely heart-thumping, scare your socks off moments because you all of a sudden get, because you hear in your headphones that there's something like growling at you or whispering something to you. And then meanwhile, you hear your friends are going, "There's the ghost. Ah!
Oh God, run. Oh, the door's locked."
Do you guys see different things? So like, Robert, do you see something different than what Eric sees? If you're
playing, it depends on
together?
If we're in the same place or not. Oh. Yeah. We're all together. Okay. We can see each other walking around. Yeah.
And there's some tools that work. There's like there's something called the spirit box, which is a recorder with radio frequencies, but it only responds to ghosts if you turn off the lights and you're by yourself. So you wander into the kid's bedroom, stand next to the stuffed animal that you think is possessed, and you go, "Hello, is anybody there? Betty, if you can hear me, give me a sign." And then Betty goes, "Hey." And then you go, "Holy shit, Betty's in this room.
I don't need any more jump scares in my life."
Yes. That's... And then you go, "I got the recording. I'm getting the hell out of here." And then you run into a closet and you're stuck. You know, that kind of a thing. It's like, oh, man, we're not really good at this game, but it is a lot of fun.
And it is called, again,
Phasmophobia, $14 on Steam.
Phasmophobia.
Phasmophobia, all right. And it's four player multiplayer. We took seven cracks at it yesterday, and we couldn't beat level one because we couldn't figure out what each time it's a different ghost.
Which actually says more about our play group than it does the game.
Yeah, and part of the problem is we're all sitting there joking around, and we're going around with the flashlights and whatnot, and we're all yucking it up.
You're hunting ghosts.
And then when someone hears the ghost, and we all stop. Like, did you hear that? Listen to that again. And then all of a sudden, then chaos breaks out.
This is coming to you from Eric Lee, who did such a good job at the Overlook game, but was like, "I'm going to solve the crime." And they were like, "No, sir, you are done. You have no more time left to solve the crime."
So, yeah, anyway. So, all right. high recommendations if you are a PC gamer. It was just kind of an out of the blue thing. We just found it yesterday, and it's like, let's give this a try. And boy, it was truly scary, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a good one.
So going down to Robert.
What do you got?
Oh, this time, I didn't have show and tell last time. So this time,
yay!
I brought show and tell.
Hell
I didn't
yeah.
just bring more work for you guys. So, so this time, I'm going with a little publishing house called Blue Fox Publishing. They started in like 2015, I think. They're in Scotland, and they do mostly independent like genre stuff, so sci-fi and slice of life and whatever, but they also do some horror stuff, and they also have a little batch of Lovecraftian things, for example.
Ooh. Whoa. Ooh. Is that a coloring book? Wait. Uh-oh.
It's too
green.
Oh,
green. Yeah. You're overloading the green.
You're overloading green. We see it.
Shadow over Innsmouth.
And now we're back. Shadow over Innsmouth.
Yes.
Comic books.
Shadow over Innsmouth, which they broke up into a three-part little series here. Mm-hmm. But they also have, like, In the Mountains of Madness.
Cool.
Yeah. Too green.
They
disappeared.
D green. Too much green.
Total
pros. We are total pros.
These are they're graphic novels.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And they are more or less true adaptations to the Lovecraft stories. So some of them are more adapted than others. Some of them are straight up the words from Lovecraft, practically. But yeah, they're really good. They're not too expensive. They're often on Kickstarter. If you look for a guy named Simon Burks, he's one of the main guys at Blue Fox, and he runs all their Kickstarter stuff.
Okay.
So often they'll put these out there, and you can get them pretty cheap.
Do they hold up to the are they reflective straight up from the novel or the
yeah,
short stories?
A lot of them are. The Mountains of Madness one that I have here is actually the better one that I've read so far, and it's they did some good. They gave the story some good help. Howard can be a little obtuse,
dry.
Dense.
Yeah.
Dialogue not his strong suit.
Yeah, exactly.
But he likes to use words like gibbous and squamous.
And who doesn't? But yeah, they're pretty true to the source material for sure.
And where is their print their publication house at?
I think it's like they're based in Scotland.
Oh,
yeah, you get them all on the web. Okay. Yeah, they have an online store, and they used to go to a lot of horror conventions all over the place, but they hadn't been doing that since COVID. So
yeah, I was going to recommend that it's like, hey, you know, that they could always give Gwen and Brian a call and get into the Lovecraft Festival, which might be on the move. We'll give you updates on that when we know more.
But hey, they speaking of Scotland and horror stuff, like the Fright Fest UK in Glasgow at this time, I think it's coming up in just a couple weeks, maybe.
Oh, right.
One of these years, that's going to be our festival.
Yes. Agreed.
That'd be awesome. Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
All right. Mike, what you got?
All right. So in the last week, I have watched Smile, which I liked.
Okay.
Robert, I think you liked it a little more than I did. I watched Pray for the Devil. Not good. I watched Fall of the House of the Usher, the original. Very good. I watched House of Darkness, the new 2020 film on Hulu. Not good. I watched the remake of The Shining. Interesting, but not good.
The Mick Garris one?
No, this he didn't do that one.
With the guy from Wings?
Yeah, the guy from Wings. Yeah, Mick Garris didn't do that. But I'm not here to talk about any of those. I'm here to talk about only films with the word death in the title. I watched two incredible films, both of which I had never seen before. Deathline from 1972, starring Donald Pleasance.
Oh.
That Donald Pleasance and Christopher Lee. Insane movie about a group of underground rail workers who are building the rail system in the UK, in London, in the 1800s, they get trapped underground. Fast forward to the 1970s. There is a group of them that has been breeding underground. It's very Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, no.
Donald Pleasance and
Christopher Lee,
they did kind of that froggy hermaphroditic kind of a thing.
They stumbled into Chud?
Yeah.
They stumbled into Chud. There's only one remaining member of this tribe of underground rail workers, and he is a descendant of the original ones, and he has been cannibalizing people for the last 70 years. It is super gory, super gross, super bloody. If you want to see a great, great film from the early 70s, totally recommend Deathline. The other death movie I'm going to recommend is from 1988. This is Death Spa. If you have ever been into a video store, and even if you haven't, I guarantee you've probably seen the poster for Death Spa. This film it's got leg warmers. It's got new wave. It's got good cops. It's got bad cops. It's got neon. It's got aerobicize. And most importantly, it's got Ken Foree. It is an incredible film. The lead actor, William Bummiller, he was on a film or a TV show in the early 80s called Manimal. No big deal. He was also on a couple episodes of Mork and Mindy. This is a crazy 80s mashup of everything you would expect. Computer hackers, ghostly figures, a new wave disco aerobic spa.
And Ken Foree in a leotard?
Lots of leotards. So many leotards. One of the things I love is that the name of the spa is Star Body Health Spa. But if you drop the STAR and the BO and the Y and the H, you get Death Spa.
that's pushing it.
Yeah,
but you enjoyed it.
That does happen. Okay. It does happen in the movie. The neon goes out, and you get Death
Half
Spa.
The letters drop out, and you get Death Spa.
Cool. The only films with death in the title, Death Line, Death Spa, both are, I saw both of them on Shudder. So hustle on over to Shudder. If you don't already have a Shudder account, which I'm sure you do, I'm here to vouch for both of those films.
That's awesome.
With death in the title.
Death.
And don't see House of Darkness. It's
agreed.
Not good.
Turned it off. Speaking of turned it off, one of my recommendations, like I always say that I quit stuff and like, what do I quit? I'm going to tell you. Here's the first thing that I quit. We're going to books. We're going to books. I was given an advanced reader copy of Bret Easton Ellis's new novel, The Shards. Dude, was I excited? So excited. I am a big fan of his in literature. Not personally. He's kind of a misogynist jerk. Like, if you listen to his podcast, I'm not a fan of his personally. But I was so excited. Yes, he
Who
has a
doesn't
podcast.
Have a podcast?
But you have to get on
the
Patreon and pay for it because he has been driven off the free internet to after he wrote like White, which was a book about like white man problems, people were like, no, dude, you don't have problems. Get off. And he did. But so The Shards is his first novel in years since Lunar Park. Oh wait, he did the secondary part to Lesson Zero. Probably like 7 years ago. So this is The Shards. This is a doorstopper of a book. It is 600 pages. Didn't find out because I got an e-copy. And then I was like, all right, when am I going to give up through this? I gave up 40% through, which is 240 pages. So I did not give up for a long time. But so I'm just going to read you a brief description. So The Shards, it was published on January 17th, and it is his first novel in 13 years, and it's a fictionalized memoir of his final year of high school in 1981's Los Angeles, but there is also a serial killer. So I was like, okay, Bret Easton Ellis, check. Serial killer, check. This is the guy who wrote American Psycho. We know he can deliver the goods. Not here. 240 pages. Only really like one person died from this serial killer. So
it's not a serial killer.
What is less than zero? The Shards.
Probably less than 200 pages, though.
It's
zero.
The Shards.
Yeah, seriously. So, couple reviews, just so you know that I don't give up on stuff just because I'm a crazy person. So, Publishers Weekly said, the book feels like two disparate novels, an overly detailed fictionalized memoir and a high gothic serial killer thriller that never come together meaningfully or believably. And then the New York Times said, that The Shards invites the reader more profoundly into the emotional realm of its protagonist than Ellis's earlier works. But while the length and looping narrative help build suspense, the reader wonders if the book could have been shorter, it could have, and still achieve the same psychedelic collage-like effect. The novel's climax and denouement fell flat. So I quit that.
Didn't even get to the denouement.
No. 240 pages. That's a long way to go before giving up.
Yeah.
So then I'm going to talk about a movie that I didn't give up on, but sometimes I kind of wish I had. this is a new movie that is coming out on tomorrow, Friday the 10th. And this is called Disquiet.
Disquiet.
Doesn't really roll
off the
tongue.
Wasn't on our looking forward to, so.
No, it was not. But this is a supernatural thriller starring Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, who's from The Tudors. He's a great actor, but has had some personal issues that I think have taken him out of the Hollywood hiring bank.
He has to battle his way back through the horror genre.
He's not going to do it with this one. It is described as a terrifying edge-of-your-seat thriller where after a near-fatal car accident, Sam wakes to discover he's trapped in an abandoned hospital by mysterious and sinister forces that have no intention of letting him leave. This movie is a maybe 2-star. Maybe.
Super good.
The script
then.
Is not great. The acting is not great. The one thing I will say for
but
it
you
is
stuck,
that it,
you stuck with it, though.
I
yeah?
stuck with it. I finished
okay.
it.
Okay, so that entitles you to a review.
Yeah,
that's
get a
why
review.
I'm talking about it here. I started the review and like didn't even want to finish it. I was like, I don't even want to like think about this movie anymore. Jonathan Rhys Meyers is easy on the eyes. I'm not going to fight that. I was excited to see him in a film, but oh my God, this movie is like really boring.
And where did you see it, Liz?
I had a screener.
Okay. And it's coming out, but it's coming out this week.
But it's going to be on VOD. Yeah. This week on the 10th. And I'm going to say, when it comes to streaming that you don't pay for,
yeah,
you could probably see worse stuff.
Call Liz.
Yeah.
Call Liz and ask for a screener.
But you did see, you saw Infinity Pool recently too, didn't you?
I did. And it was okay. Mm-hmm. The people who are like freaking out about it being disturbing and this and that, they just don't watch horror movies, which is fine. Yeah. That's a Sundance audience. So yeah.
It sounded like Possessor Part 2.
Which would
I never
be,
made it all the way through Possessor. I liked Antiviral. I think that Baby Cronenberg has stuff to show us. He's got a great visual eye. It's very visceral.
For
the
sure.
movie looked
for sure.
great, but it was, yeah. I think my review said White Lotus meets Hostel, but like 95% less torture or anything. Just a little bit of light B&E. A little breaking in, right?
<You know? laughs> a little unnerving, but not scary.
It had some sexy parts that were kind of forced in there. And Mia Goth is fantastic. And seeing her berate Alexander Skarsgård is probably worth the matinee price of admission. Yeah.
So catch it when it comes out streaming.
Yeah, for sure. It's worth watching, but it wasn't what I was expecting.
So no Brett Easton Ellis, no Disquiet, maybe Infinity Pool.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Watch it at home. But yes to Lost Boys t-shirt.
Well, and then we get, I think, as a bit of a preview for next week. Next week's spooky
What's happening
time.
Next week?
Well, we're hoping that Mike and Robert will get a chance to see Knock at the Cabin. Because
I thought it was going to be like a Valentine's Day special.
Actually, 2 weeks from now. I'll be out of town. I will be gallivanting around Rome looking for
Dario
Argento.
Oh, that's right.
Argento.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I got to get out of Dodge.
That's right. Before the masses hit New Orleans.
Before the king cake, baby. Come for me.
Bring that to Rome.
Yeah, Knock at the Cabin. We will definitely discuss that.
Because I think it'll be a fascinating one to talk about. Because I think both Liz and I have interesting takes, and be
and
interesting ones.
Takes.
Yes, I don't know.
Save it.
Save it.
Yeah.
Save it.
We'll wait for two guys to actually maybe get a chance, and then we could because if there's a roundtable discussion about our thoughts about it, because it's a big movie. And it's
all right, Liz. Get us out of here.
Okay. So I should have said this on our first week that we did this, but in the immortal words of Freddy Krueger, since we're on the YouTube, welcome to prime time, bitch.
Yeah!